Just come, brother, and lead as the Lord leads you. Amen? Amen. Let's welcome Brother Dean Moore.
So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Cushanites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Stictites, and Termites. Hallelujah. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4, the just, quote it with me, the just shall live by faith. Good morning to all of you. God bless you. Good morning. All three of you, we're going to increase that by tonight. God bless you. Praise God forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2 says, we are sanctified in Christ Jesus, and we're called to be saints. Do you feel like you're called to be a saint this morning? Let me see your hand. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Then the angels here, don't hold up your hand. You know the difference between an angel and a saint? I met a few angels. They're always up in the air harping. Jack Hayford, the great pastor, I believe, is a great man of God. Church on the Way, Van Nuys, California. He's pastor emeritus, I believe, at this time. Said one morning, he was preaching on that text, 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 2, sanctified and called to be saints. And he said he had the people to do something and turn to people around them there and introduce themselves. Let's see. Good morning. I'm Saint Dean.
My name's Betty. Harry. I'm Mason.
Saint Betty. Say it.
Saint Betty.
I'm Saint Dean.
Saint Larry.
James. Do we have a Saint John here this morning? Yes. Saint John. Two of them. Yes. Two of them in one house. Give them a hand this morning. Yes. Saint Peter. Saint Pete. Are you here this morning? Okay, not here this morning. All right, glad for St. John's here today. All right, Jack Hayford said he had people turn and introduce themselves for the first time. I won't do that because I've never found a church yet that would do it. Introduce themselves as saint because people next to them know they ain't. So his wife, sitting on the front seat, turned to the visitor there, introduced herself. Good morning, I'm St. Anne. I believe that was her name, St. Anne. And he just kind of looked befuddled and didn't know what to do or what to say. She said again, good morning, I'm St. Anne. He didn't respond. She kind of pressed him and said, well, this fellow, he's either deaf or he's mute or... He's intellectually challenged. Notice how correct I am there. Correct. Intellectually challenged. He doesn't know what we're doing here. She said, no kidding. All jokes aside, my name is Ann. I'm St. Ann. What's your name? And then he stuck out his hand and responded. His head dropped down, got real red. He said, well, I didn't really mean to tell you. Yeah. Said, lest you think that I was some kind of an animal, but said, my name is Bernard. I'll explain that to the rest of you tonight. Hallelujah. Let me wet my whistle here. How am I doing? I like to have water handy. In case it gets dry, we'll wet her down. And if it flames up on us, I know what to do about that. Boy, I tell you, I thank God for your musicians, this praise band and your worship leaders, and praise God for that. I even knew some of the courses this morning. I get in some places where the worship leader writes his own music and I don't know a thing in the world they're singing. I sit down, don't be offended at that. I sit down because I've earned the right. Look up here. I sit down because I'm on my feet. Some churches I'll be on my feet 3 hours in two services, all right? So, I dropped you a hint, you didn't take it. We're going to be here a while. Let's see. Here we go. Pastor, was that 1 o'clock that you said?
That'll be
fine. About 1, okay. I think they'd stay. I'm just reading the congregation. I think they would. Praise God. I think we're going to get by. Can you kill these lights right here without putting everybody in the dark? The more light we have, the more difficult it is for my little cheap machine here to... That'll be fine. You don't have to see me anyway. Just hear me. Okay. We're going to pray. I'm not here this morning to impress you nor entertain you. I try to be cheerful. Look at me a moment. Because I've been down the road of a nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm. Nearly 30 years ago, 1 year, I was in the slough of despond, as Christian says in Pilgrim Progress. I didn't know where God existed or not. He never talked to me, he never said one word to me for 1 year. I walked her by faith every step of the way. Tried to be faithful, that's all I had left. Are you with me? Amen. And I remember clearly, one afternoon at 4 o'clock, I was sitting in my easy chair, that's where I stayed much of the time, totally depressed. Doctor wanted to hospitalize me, but me being a pastor, then, when mean I'd probably lose my church. Are you listening? God forgive us for treating mental, emotional illness worse than we consider cancer. Are you with me? And some kind of a plague, and we're ashamed of it. Friends, let me tell you, we need to be praying for people who have an emotional problem. We need to understand, okay, and God loves. Hallelujah. But I'm just telling you, God answers prayer. And He said to me, hadn't shed a tear, I hadn't laughed in a year. God said to me, let go underneath of the everlasting arms. I dropped my arms and fell in the arms of Jesus and started weeping. And for the last 30 years plus, hallelujah, I've been as tough as nails. I've been to hell and back. Hallelujah. And I'm still on my feet and still on my way to heaven. And if I laugh a little bit, you'll have to forgive me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because I've been the other place. Are you with me? I'm not here this morning just to give you information. I've got a head full of it. I've been studying this since I was 10 years of age at least. I've spent a life, an adult life. I've been preaching nearly 47 years. And I've got a head full of it. I've got a computer full of it. But I'm not here just to give you information, because you are intelligent enough to get your own information if you want it. It's available to you. Are you listening? It's available to you. But I need the aid of the Holy Spirit. I'm not aiming for your head alone today. I'm aiming for your heart. And only the Holy Ghost can help us do that. Join with me in prayer. Father God, thank you for the beautiful atmosphere, the wonderful choruses and music. And as we glorified you and speak of your majesty and your grace, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful atmosphere that's in this church here today. I pray that you would give me the aid of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's not experience, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not knowledge that we're looking looking for. We are looking for a relationship with God. Speak to us today. Stir our hearts. Let us know how very, very near your coming is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." Hallelujah. We're looking for that coming at any time. Those disciples, 500 of them, looked into heaven and they saw Jesus going back to the Father. The angel said unto them, "Why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that you see going away into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go away." We have the testimony that of the angels that Jesus is coming back. John chapter 14, "If I go away," he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a great rapture scripture this morning. I see you have this picture right behind your baptistry up there. All right? That's a good picture. Jesus is coming on the clouds. Hallelujah. And we're going to rise to meet him in the air. This is the season of our Lord's return. I want you to get one word. The season of our Lord's return. Here's our scripture focus this morning.
12, verse 32. "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do."
Give us wise men and women today that know what we should be doing. The sons of Issachar stood above the fray and observed what was taking place. Friends, we're here for purpose. Somebody is asking this morning about the world's getting so bad, why doesn't Jesus come? And my answer simply was that he will come on schedule. And I thought of something else in the meantime. Let me tell you, he has a purpose for every one of us here. He would have come a long time ago, except he has a purpose for the church. Let us never forget that. Don't let our guard down and go to sleep and sit on the stool of do nothing in the most time when we should be most active. Occupy how long? Till I come. Hallelujah. He's going to come for a church that is actively obeying the word of God. So the sons of Issachar stood above the fray and they observed the natural times around them. They learned to discern the face of the sky. They also learned to discern the religious times in which they lived. The political times. They understood the actions of friends and foes alike. They read the trends. Keep that word in mind. Seasons and trends. They read the trends of current events around them. We are living, dear friends, none can deny that, in the most preposterous days in 2,000 years. When a young man, 23 years of age, with everything to live for, walks in and slaughters 32 people and puts 20 others in the hospital in a matter of 3 or 4 minutes. Dear friends, we are living in dangerous time. Paul said we live in perilous times. That's what he wrote Timothy. Know this, that in the last days there will come perilous times. You know what that word means? Simply hard to deal with. Dangerous times to be living. We need the grace of God. Have you learned to plead the blood over your children? Don't let them out of the house of the morning without praying for them and plead the blood over their life, because you never know if they're going to come home alive or not. I'm not trying to interject negative things here this morning, but reality. Don't leave home without kissing your wife, boys, because you may not see her alive. She may not see you again. Hallelujah. We're that very, on the very edge of eternity. And beyond that, the Lord could come at any time. Let's keep it right. Let's stay right. Preposterous times we're living in. We too, like the sons of Issachar, must understand the tenor of the time. We must learn what the Bible has to say and be knowledgeable about what has been prophesied concerning the days in which we are living. So we must have the courage to confront the time. Did you hear me? God has not called us to roll over and play dead. This business of tolerance, that's the catchword today that is politically correct, but it is baloney. Are you listening? We cannot be tolerant of sin. We can't tolerate it in our own life. We can't tolerate it in our leadership. Are you listening? We can't tolerate it in the church. And my friend, we're going to be here till Jesus comes, but I long for the day because I'm getting tired of the stench around me. How about you? It grieves my spirit. It grieves my spirit as well as the danger. So we must speak up. We must stand up and we must speak up. Everybody else is coming out of the closet and we're running to the closet to hide. Are you listening? It's time for the church. Hallelujah. To stand up, take our place because we're here for a purpose. And let's understand that. Church big, church small, we're here for a purpose. And we need to understand it. So, the sons of Issachar confronted their times, and so should we. The more we know of the Word of God, the more we see a convergence of events taking place. This thing is coming together so fast, so fast. Listen, this train's going to pull into the depot real soon, unless God slows it down. Are you listening? I'm just going to tell you something. I don't see how we can be here another 5 or 6 years unless God slows this thing down. Here's my position on Bible prophecy. It's not what I do. It's not what Israel does. It is not what the world does. And it's sure not what George Bush does. Somebody say amen. It is what God does. God's still calling the shots. I said God's still calling the shot. He can slow this train down. He can put it on a sidetrack and leave it 100 years. Are you listening to me this morning? But we don't believe it's going to be that long because all the signs are right now in the process of coming together. It is not a matter they may. They are coming together. This is the season of our Lord's return. Indulge me. Say that back. This is the season of our Lord's return. We cannot give the day or the hour. The Bible tells us that we don't have that knowledge, nor should we try. But we can know the season. The closer we observe, the clearer. Observe what? What's happening in our world and the Word of God. We see that Jesus is coming soon. So let us redeem the time, for the days are evil. Here's some shocking statistics to me at least. 80% of the church world knows nothing about Bible prophecy. 80%. This generation of younger people now do know nothing about the second coming. And let me put a little appendage to that. They don't want to know because they are enjoying and having too much fun. Young people, let me tell you, I want you to have fun. I want you to be saved and full of the Holy Ghost, ready to go up when the trumpet sounds. That is more important than having fun. God's not against fun, but He wants you to be prepared at a moment's notice to lay it down. Are you with me? Turn loose of it and go to be with Jesus when that moment counts. And the party just starts then. I'm telling you, the fun just starts then. And it'll last forever. 80% of the church world knows nothing, and a full one half of them don't even care. Pastor, I preach to people in the Assemblies of God. I preach on certain things like I'm going to deal with tonight about Islam. And they sit there and look at me and grit their teeth. I can see it all over them. They're hostile to that I dared to mention another religion in some kind of negative content or context. Friends, I want you to know we a bit into this tolerant thing. We got to be tolerant of the gay lifestyle. We got to be tolerant of every man's religion. Well, God's not, so why should I be? Amen. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean I can't pray for them and love them. I pray for the Muslim. It wouldn't surprise me not one bit that God don't put me somewhere in a Muslim country, somewhere to preach to the Muslim as stout as I've been the last 5 years. I've warned and warned and warned, and I'm going to show you something tonight that will shock the living daylights out of you, or that's what we're hoping for tonight, to let you know that we are in danger. I said the world is in danger. We are now in World War number 3. We'll talk about it tonight. Our Bible colleges are not teaching young preachers how to understand the time. Now, this is a prophecy fulfilled right in our audience here today.
3:3-4. There shall come in the last days scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming?
Making fun. I've had preachers that made fun of my emphasis on Bible prophecy. Here's what the Bible says.
Matthew 24, verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming?
And the end of the world, or the end of the age. Jesus pointed up that we should watch the olive trees. The olive tree is a symbol of Israel. Yeah. I've seen these olive trees. They were around when Jesus was on the earth. An olive tree never dies. It just puts out new limbs and roots and all that and just keeps going. These things are over 2,000 years of age. All right?
Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near
the coming of the Lord.
Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
All right, we're going to talk about those things here for in just a moment here. What is a generation? My personal opinion is the generation that Jesus referred to here in this passage is the generation that sees the rebirth of national Israel, the budding of the fig tree, the budding of the fig tree. 1948, it took place. One of the greatest fulfillment of Bible prophecy in modern time, if not all times, apart from the first coming of Jesus Christ, has come in our lifetime. How many of you were alive in 1948? Hold up your hand. Oh, Pastor, you got a young church here, all right? But God bless all you old fogies. I'm one of you. I just love old people. I do, boy. I just love old people. And he's getting to be a bunch of us, too. We're going to gang up on you guys if you're not careful, all right? This generation, the generation that sees all the signs, about 1819, Matthew 24 pathetic signs, Jesus gave signs, the disciples call them. When you see all these signs coming to pass at the same time, simultaneously, in addition to the rebirth of national Israel after 2,500 years, know that that will be the terminal generation. That will be the generation that can expect the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. Hallelujah. Since 1948. Notice, as generations before us we too are expecting the imminent return of Christ. That's a $50 word. Can you pronounce it? Imminent. Let's go. Imminent. You notice it doesn't say immediate. People who believe in the immediate return write books. 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come, Rosh Hashanah, 1988, and sell millions of them. All right, a man in Arkansas by the name of Wisenhunt somehow figured on his computer that Jesus was coming in September 1988. Well, it took the world by storm, the church world. I had a preacher lady in the church that I pastored, older than I. She got so caught up in that until after we were still here, after the time limit, she was so embarrassed she left the church. Folks, be careful about false prophets. I learned something about Wisenhunt. That man came in to Assemblies of God churches in Arkansas, one of them in Little Rock. A man told me this a little over a month ago. He said, I was a member there. This man came in and stood up and prophesied, and lo and behold, the pastor invited him back to explain himself. He took 50% of the church with him and started him a church down the road. Are you with me? All right. He missed it. So he came back in 1989 and wrote 89 reasons why Jesus will come this year, Rosh Hashanah, which is a Jewish feast, in September. So we do not believe in the immediate return. Those who believe in the immediate return walk the floor and stay up at night and wring their hands and pull their hair and say, woe is me, where is Jesus? Grandma said he was coming 50 years ago and he hadn't shown up yet. What do we do? He must not be coming, or I've missed it. Are you with me? Paul dealt with a group of people that thought they'd missed the resurrection. 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, he dealt with that problem. Thought that Jesus had come and they had been left behind. All right? And so, they say, where's the promise of his coming? Remember I read that scoffer. Where's the promise of his coming? All things have continued since the fathers fell asleep. That's a lie too. Everything has been changing. Are you with me? Now, we don't believe in the immediate return. If we do, we set dates. He has to come. No, he don't. He is sovereign. He will come when he gets good and ready.
That's right. Amen.
Before I knew better, I used to give away books. People asked me questions I could not answer. I gave away probably three or four books. And one fellow asked me a question. Stood up, smart aleck. Stood up and said, when's Jesus coming? I quoted him. Later he apologized and said, I was smart aleck. When's Jesus coming? Well, I guess I owe you a book. Since then, I got the answer. You want to hear it? He'll come when he gets good and ready.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let me explain his word here. I'm going to behave like I have all day. Imminent. What does imminent mean? Jesus may not come for 10 years. I don't want him to wait that long.
No.
I'm not sure this world of ours is going to hold together in another 10 years the way we're going. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Jesus is the salvation of this thing. He's the only salvation of this thing. He's coming again. I don't want him to wait 10 years, but he might. He might wait 50, God forbid, but he might. He might wait 100. I told you he can put this train on a sidetrack and leave it as long as he wants to. Are you with me? We need to understand that. That keeps him from setting dates. Are you with me? But we do know we're in the general season. If things continue the way they're going now, you can look for Jesus. When? He may not come for 100 years. But here's the kicker. He could come today. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Like I said this morning, he won't send you no email. No sirree, Bob, or a fax or anything else. We're getting all the warning we're going to get. Right now, you're hearing a prophet of God this morning. Not because I've got that gift. I'm just telling you what God says. I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to be anything other than just an old Oklahoma, Eastern Oklahoma preacher boy that's got a burden and a passion to let people know Jesus is coming. Somebody's got to tell us. Somebody's got to tell us. Somebody's got to tell us and cry out and spare not that Jesus could come at any time. Now here's what we need to understand. Trends. I told you that we're living in the general season. Yep. No man knows the day or the hour. But Jesus plainly says in Matthew 24, when you see the fig tree putting forth its leaves, know that summer is nigh. I didn't have to have anybody tell me when that grass in my backyard started growing that we's in for a change of season. Are you with me? I just looked around. I look around, I see the seasons. And I know this must be a season of the Lord's return. He could come any time now. Not one sign remains to be fulfilled. Now, I'm going to lose some of you. I'm going to say it anyway. The rapture has no signs, had never had a sign. There are no signs in the Word of God pointing to the rapture. The signs point to the second coming of Christ. Now, I grew up, and when I began, I saw these signs and thought, well, praise God. They're going to come during the tribulation, and I won't be here. But we are seeing things right now that make us know we must be this close to the coming of the Lord. Because the signs point to the second coming, not the rapture. The Lord gave me a little illustration. I want to share it with you. He said when the sun is high noon, at I don't know what that is. It's apex up here. The only people that cast a shadow is guys that got a physique like mine. And expectant mothers. We might cast a little shadow. But when that sun passes the noon stage and starts down, you can see shadows. What happens? The closer it gets to the horizon, the western horizon, the longer the shadows are. Friends, the sun's going down on this age. Fast going down. Have you watched that thing? Put in a marker and watch her going down. And watch how fast you can see that sun moving. Are you with me? Going down. Friends, this worldly system is doomed and damned. And God's going to deal with it in His own way, in His own time. And the sun's going down on it. I'm telling you, the coming of the Lord is right ahead of us. Tribulation is right ahead of us. We're already seeing the shadows lengthening, touching our lives. When one kid killed 32 and wounded another 20, it tells me the shadows are lengthening. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What was one of the outstanding things about Noah's day? Well, a lot of things. One of them was violence. Men's hearts were on evil continually. Notice the trends. We need to look at that. All right? Know that summer is nigh. Jesus left us an array of prophetic signs at a certain season of world history. All of these signs would converge with explosive consequence. Alright? And we are there now. Ohora Bakuya. Glory. I feel the spirit of prophecy coming on me this morning. Hallelujah. This is an atmosphere where God can speak to us, dear friends. God can speak to us. when you hear your pastor preach, are you aware? Sometimes he says things he has not planned to say. That there the spirit of prophecy rests upon ministers standing. I don't care who they are. They preach under the preach the gospel and preach under the anointing. There are times they say things they hadn't planned. Am I telling the truth, Pastor? Do you have enough discernment to know that God can speak to you through this pastor? Do you come expecting to hear from God when this man preaches? This happens to me, and I know when it happens, and somehow my anointing shifts gears, and I move over into something that, oh, glory to God, feels like nothing else that I can explain. And that's just lingering around the edges this morning, and no telling what we might hear from God before this day's gone. But listen, I'm preaching the Word of God. Signs tell us that prophecy is marching home. They may appear, listen, signs can be deceiving. Now, I pride myself, in the best sense of that word, in being practical about what I preach. I don't want to get my head in the clouds and a bunch of flaky stuff, because you've got to live here till that rapture takes place. And I want to get it right down where we are living. Now, signs can be deceiving. They may appear to the uninformed as the same old events recycling. Informed assessment of these signs will alert us to a trend. That's what we want to look at, rather than looking at isolated signs, dear friends. We want to look at the trends that are being established. The trends, not the signs, the trends tell us that the coming of the Lord must be near, because we're seeing this sign, this sign, this sign all come together and converging and making a package. Do you understand? I call it a trend. That's what we want to watch, or we will be running here and running there, and every time that Israel sneezes, every time Ahmadinejad's ransom raves over there, why then we get all bent out of shape. It's just a part of the trend. Are you with me? Anti-Semitism is back again. It is a trend that Jesus said you'll be hated of all nations. So trends offer evidence the second advent is near. Successful investors like some of you here this morning with a lot of money to put in the stock market, you either study the trends or you hire somebody to study the trends for you. If a stock is doing a certain thing over a certain period of time, or it did it last year, or the trend, why then the investor says, I'm going to put some money on that stock. There's a trend that says it's going to go up or it's going to go down. And they know, and they understand, and they invest accordingly. All right? Trends. Weather forecasters, they look at the trends. If this cloud keeps doing what it's doing, we're going to have a storm. But I go on my lumbago. How about you? All right, here we go. Prophecy experts whip up sensational prediction. Now stay with me. I'm not against prophecy preachers. I is one, okay? I'm not against prophecy preachers. But they get, they write books, get on television about some happening in the world. And, well, they sell a lot of books. But a year from now, that thing may reverse. A year from now, it may go on the sidetrack and we haven't heard anything from it. Are you listening? And they got a bunch of books in the warehouse. They can't sell. You understand what I mean? So let's don't knee-jerk. When these signs take place, yeah, right here's where that belongs. And there is a trend. There's a half a dozen more signs right over here. And next thing is, I see what it's going to do here now. It's pointing to the coming of the Lord. You understand what I'm talking about? And so signs alert us, but we want to study not only the signs, but the trends. Watch what is happening. For 59 years, we've wrestled and watched the process of war and peace up and down in the Middle East with the expectation of our Lord's return, and He hasn't come yet. Many have grown disillusioned, and here's why I'm saying this at all. Don't get disillusioned if a sign don't pan out the way you want it to pan out. If the Bible says it's going to happen, it's going to happen, sign or no sign. Are you with me? Watch the trends. Watch the trends. So many have grown disillusioned, and they stopped looking for Him, and their lives indicated. However, I do not grow weary. However, I do not grow weary with signs, for they offer clear evidence of prophetic trends. Now that's just down-to-earth teaching. Do you understand where I'm coming from this morning? All right.
Matthew 24, verse number 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
That scripture illustrates exactly what I'm saying to you this morning. Wars and rumors of wars, so don't get bent out of shape, because we're not quite there yet. I'm not ready to come yet. But in the right time. How many of you know in the counsel of heaven and in the mind of God, He knows the instant Jesus is coming to this earth again? He knows the instant. The signs are not driving the coming of the Lord. I said the signs are not dictating the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is producing the signs. Are you with me? Let's keep the cart before the horse. Let's see. No, keep the horse before the cart. All right? Lest we get into error here.
I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding people reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves.
All right. What nations? Who are we talking about? The Gentile nations. What are Muslim? Gentile nation. Muslims are Gentile nation. And when the little monkey in Iran said, we're going to wipe them from the face of the earth. Are you with me?
Amen.
We take that serious, and Israel takes him serious because of Hitler. Are you with me? Hitler said that's what he's going to do, and he tried it. All right? So keep this in mind. These things will happen, but the end is not yet. All nations will hate Israel. Let me tell you, the United States is about the only and the closest thing that Israel has for a friend. Pray for George Bush. Would you please? I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, or a mix in between. Pray for this man. You're mandated by the Scriptures to do it. You're mandated to pray for your pastor over here too. You really are. Pray for leadership, because this man is under extreme pressure. If we only knew a half of how he's pressured on a daily basis to do this and do that, to capitulate the Muslims and to give in this faction and this faction, this political group, that political group, somebody wanting to do something over here, support Israel, and some said don't support Israel, turn them over to the Arabs, on and on and on it goes. Watch the trends, isolated sign. Trends offer clear evidence the Lord's return is near, as opposed to the everyday events. It is much easier to see trends that fit prophetic pattern in Scripture. A word puzzle. A picture puzzle is difficult to solve without watching the trends and the colors and the shapes. If you like a puzzle, you know what I'm talking about. I've got a three-year-old granddaughter, adopted granddaughter, smart as a tack. She didn't get it from me, I'll tell you. And she likes puzzle. You give her a brand new puzzle, and I'll guarantee you in five or six minutes, she's got that thing put together. You know what? She looks at the shades of coloring. She looks at the shapes, and she can put that thing together. One fellow is busy, and his little daughter came up, and with a picture, wanted him to pay attention to her, and she had this picture. So he said, "Give me that." And so he just cut it up into pieces. Thought that'll keep her busy for a long, long time. And it was a map of the United States. It just occurred to me. Map of the United States. He just cut it up and handed it to her. Put all the states together, honey, and that would keep her occupied. And in 3 minutes, she was back and had them all together. "How did you do that, honey?" And so she turned the thing over, and it had a picture of Jesus on the back side. She said, "Daddy, I just got Jesus together, and everything else came together." Get Jesus where He's supposed to be, and it'll change your life. You believe that? Hallelujah. Amen. Mega events are related signs coming together to pivot a point in history. I'm going to close.
"And when these things began to come to pass, then look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh."
Hallelujah. Let's all read that in unison. "And when these things to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Do you take comfort in that verse this morning?
Yes.
Oh, glory. That thing comforted me when 9/11 took place. It comforted me when the tsunami was raging in South Asia. It comforts me when I see people dying of cancer, people we love in our churches. Are you with me?
Amen.
It comforts me. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. Hallelujah. I've been hearing about the coming of the Lord since I was a child. My grandmother used to talk to me about the coming of the Lord. "William Dean, Jesus is coming soon. Here I am nearly 70 years of age and He hasn't come yet." The scoffers would say, "You're silly. Grandma, she's just talking to herself talk. She don't know what she's talking about. Jesus hadn't come. And here you are, as silly as she was, you're looking for the coming of the Lord." Let's put things in perspective. 50 years, how long is that? Like that, and I'm an old man. You're not going to believe it. I've been younger than you were. And you are. And you. Younger. Whew! Don't seem long that I was a kid. Do anything I was big enough to do. Hadn't been long. Let's look at it from God's perspective. 1,000 years is as one day, and a day is as 1,000 years with God. He owns eternity. He dwells in eternity. Time means nothing to God. Time is a slice of eternity where God has deposited us. We're time conscious. You ever been so busy in all your life? I'm supposed to be retired. Never been as busy in all my life. And you know what? It seems to me time is accelerating. Time is accelerating. I don't have time to do anything but eat, and I manage to do that on a regular basis. All right? I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't run with girls who do. All I can do is eat. what I'm trying to get you to see. Time means nothing. Okay, let's compare 50 years to God's time clock. How long has it been since Grandma said Jesus is coming? Does that make an impact on you? God's time piece. A nanosecond. Whew. So it hadn't been long, has it? So He could come at any moment. Would you bow your hearts with me in prayer? I'm not finished, but I had time constraints, and we're talking about that. Father God, I pray this morning that I just scratched the surface here, but I pray the Holy Spirit will go beyond my limited ability and speak to some people here that are playing fast and loose with their relationship with God. There may be somebody here who's never known the Lord. They may belong to somebody's church, but they've never known the Lord. And I speak to some lovely young people here this morning with their lives ahead of them, but they could have been someplace like Virginia Tech just trying to get an education. And a madman walks in and snuffs their life out. Well, we have no promise of tomorrow, but we do have the promise of heaven. We do have the promise of the coming of the Lord. Lord, we'd be some kind of fool to ignore it. Because this could be the day. This could be the day. This could be the hour. Speak to our hearts this morning. Impress us. I'm asking you, Lord, to impress us by the Holy Spirit. Go beyond what I've done this morning. Help us here, Lord. Grip the heart of the people. Jesus said, I'm coming again. I believe you, Jesus. It's the hope of the world. It's the glorious hope that my Jesus will come again. And it very well may be soon. And I hope and pray that it is. In Jesus' name, all heads are bowed for just a moment. This is a private moment between you and the Lord. Be reverent, would you please? Just a couple of minutes, and we're going to be finished here. Father God, reach out to every person here. There's some people here under the sound of my voice that have done better than they've been doing in recent times. There's some here this morning that have been discouraged. They become disillusioned about the things of God, and they don't have time to even sit down and ponder the possibility of Jesus coming. They're too busy making a living and too busy doing this and going there. God, speak to those this morning and speak to those that have a rebellious attitude in their heart. I don't care if Jesus is coming, I'm going to do my thing. God, help them to see that if they go into tribulation and miss the rapture, in all probability they're going to die. And if they don't die, they could take the mark of the beast that will doom them to hell. Oh God, help us to recognize it's important that we be ready when the trumpet sounds and go with the believers to meet Jesus in the air. With heads bowed for a moment this morning, I want you to get up like a man or woman with some courage. Get up from where you are and say, when I think about the coming of the Lord, I grow anxious. I grow afraid. And I know I'm not ready. I know I'm not ready, but I want to be ready. And I'm going to take care of that this morning. Get up from where you are and come and stand or kneel here by the platform or this front pew. Come right now. Saints, would you be praying with me now? You know somebody here that needs Jesus. You know somebody here that's been a little lax in their relationship with the Lord. It looks like they keep going, they're going to be totally backslidden and out of church. We don't want that to happen. Are you praying for them? I'm talking to some people this morning that's doing some things, and you've tried to justify by or pretending, and you know right now in this atmosphere where the Holy Ghost is here, shining His light on your life right now, some of you this morning are doing some things, and some of you are looking at some things, some of you are involved in some things that you are reasoning through and trying to justify what you're doing, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if Jesus were to come that in all probability you'd miss that rapture and you'd have to go through tribulation. This morning, make it right with Jesus. I'm not asking you for public confession. Take it to the Lord. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Stand to your feet quietly to give people an opportunity to respond. Young people, when you think about, stand to your feet, would you please? When you think about, young people, when you think about the Lord coming, it just scares you to death. You don't want the Lord to come. You got a lot of living to do, and you don't want the Lord to come. But friends, I'm telling you, it's going to be a delight. It's going to be a delight. Please stand. All of you stand this morning, would you please? I'm sorry I didn't make myself clear to you to give somebody an opportunity. Step out where you are. If I can get to you, I will meet you in the aisle. Pastor will join me and we will pray with you here at the front. If you're anxious about the Lord coming, good indication that you're not really where you need to be with Jesus and you can take care of it this morning. How many people here know beyond a shadow of a doubt everything's well between you and the Lord? Your soul, would you lift your hand, please? If the Lord were to come today, everything's okay today. God bless you. God bless you, Pastor. Can you go right over here, would you, dear lady? Hallelujah. God, the Holy Spirit is touching this woman in a most unusual way here today. I'm praying that somebody will join her here this morning. Will join her here. You will come. And there's a need in your life. I didn't get specific too much this morning. I just want the Holy Spirit to give His own altar call. Would you come? Harabakuya. Harabakuya. There's a real burden in your life today. And if I'm hearing right from the Holy Spirit, God wants to minister to you. You need, first of all, spiritual and emotional strength. You need physical and emotional strength. And God knows exactly what it is today. And He wants to help you get everything under the blood that would cause you to miss out. God wants to do that this morning. Stretch your hand in this direction. Pastor, would you minister to this dear lady today? Father, I praise you this morning for this opportunity of prayer over her life today. Harabakuya, touch her, Jesus. By your Spirit, Lord, you and you alone know exactly what the need is in her life today. You know where she is with you, Lord. You know where she is with all other people around her, Lord, in her relationships. You know about that. And hallelujah. And you can minister to her like nobody can. Nobody loves her like Jesus. And I pray that you would help her here this morning. Bind up a broken heart and a disappointment. Bind up, Lord, the disillusionments in her heart and confusion. Dear Lord, I pray, Jesus, give her the mind of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We bring it under the blood and we pray, dear Jesus, we pray this morning. Give it to Jesus. Don't carry this burden outside this building this morning in Jesus' name. Somebody over here need prayer. Somebody over here needs prayer. Come, we'll pray for you this morning. We'll pray for you. Would you go? Thank God for that smile on her face. Smile. When God touches you, hallelujah, He'll renew you spiritually. Do you need prayer this morning? Anybody here need prayer this morning? Glory be to God forever. You need prayer today. Father God, minister to this woman today. Touch her by your Spirit. Lord, I lay hands upon her. My hands represent your hands. I can do nothing but you can. Oh, Rabakiah. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, bring confidence into her life. Confidence in her life today, Lord. In Jesus' name, touch her right now, Lord. Right now, Lord. Hallelujah. God, lift her burdens.
Yes.
Tell her right now, it's all right because I'm in control.
Yes.
It's all right because I'm in control. Right now, in Jesus' name, release these things into the hands of God who loves you. Jesus is standing before you, and He's saying to you right now, my daughter, release those things into my hand. Cast your burdens upon me, for I care for you. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Touch her today, dear Jesus. Give her of your grace and strength. Now, Lord. Now, Lord. You're the burden lifter. The cares of our lives weighed us down. Cast all your cares in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, restore unto her the joys of her salvation. There's been a time when she has been a happier Christian than she is right now. Restore to her, Lord, what the devil has stolen from her life. In Jesus' name, Satan, you're a liar and the father of it. We bind your influence. We bind your influence over her life right now. Let the love of God shine through to her today. Give her the life that you have intended for her. In Jesus' name, Lord, cast those burdens away that she carries this morning. Help her to cast them on Jesus. In the name of Okorabakuya. Sita Tarabakuya. Handarabakuya. Hallelujah. He that is hath the Son is free indeed. If you have Jesus, you're free. Hallelujah. We're not bound. We are free in Jesus. We're singing about it this morning. In the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. I bless you this morning. I bless you this in the Kosita Tohoya. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.